Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey there. Welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be with you here on this Monday. It's Reaction Monday. Maybe an overreaction Monday in some ways, but we'll give it our best. Jacob Albrecht here alongside TJ Cleland. Glad to be with you. Max Power is producing. He's got the KFH hotline at 869-1240. You can also reach us online on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. You can leave us your video comments there. If you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, you can leave us voice messages, all kinds of ways to get in touch with the program as we take you back through the weekend and react to what we saw, including the Kansas City Chiefs 31-0 win over the Raiders. We asked how they could cover, 12.5, 13.5 points. That's how you just annihilate your opposition. We'll look around the rest of the NFL, what we saw this weekend, a couple of good games tonight on Monday Night Football will get you ready for as well. We almost have a World Series set, but not quite. We have a Game 7 in the ALCS tonight to see who goes on to take on the Dodgers. Joshua Briscoe joins us in the next hour, our Chiefs insider from the Chiefs Radio Network, helping us look back at the Raiders game and look forward now to the next one for the Kansas City Chiefs. So it's all out there in front of you. It's all what's on tap. Brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, where it's patio season. Getting a little chillier, but it's still patio season. Smash a Yumpkin pumpkin on Delano's rooftop deck. Enjoy happy hour at WBC East newly remodeled patio, or grab a pizza outside shielded from the setting sun at WBC West. When you think patio, think Wichita Brewing Company pizza and beer made here. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Yesterday, we finally had it. The perfect day. Nice and crispy air when you wake up, nice and toasty a little bit when you get to noon. You can take off the sweatpants, keep the hoodie on. That's what I've been referencing. That's what everybody that's on my side has been referencing, and we finally had it yesterday. We're in that season, but we get it for like 5 days, it seems like. Today is going to be windy.
Nobody's,
it's not gonna be nice
nobody's on your side. Nobody wants the winter to come. Nobody's ready for cold weather. That's
Friday. I'm telling you, Friday night was like the definition of football weather.
That's fine, but and enjoy it. I don't have any problem with it. I enjoy it, but wishing it upon us is like wishing upon us the winter, and that's not going to be something any of us are looking forward to. My heater is not firing on at the house right now. Waking up and it's like, man, it's a little chilly in here. I pop up and just all the fun that the winter brings and getting sprinklers. So you're a homeowner now. You're going to find out. You're going to find out all the fun things you have to do and change and pay attention to and. It's just there's nothing good that comes of it. But this has been really nice fall weather, and it looks like it will continue for a little while. So enjoy that. It does. Maybe it'll last a long time this year. It felt like fall yesterday because of all the football. That's for sure. It was a good day of football. Hope everybody made some money on their bets. I hit every part of that Chiefs game except the Raiders not showing up at all. Like nothing. I needed almost nothing out of Geno Smith, and he gave me less than nothing to complete a big one. But for the Chiefs, and we'll dig into this on the other side, it was predictable. As predictable as I think it could be, a spreading out of targets. I do think we can kind of see the pecking order a little bit in the wide receiver room and how that will work based on the amount of targets. I think we were, we were just about right on those and what we were guessing, how that would look and all the different things. But it's given us a pretty good look. And there'll be all kinds of things hurled around all the Monday morning water cooler shows today, including this one, on where the Chiefs stand after that kind of a performance. And it's hard because you don't want to overlook the fact that the Raiders are terrible. And that was an embarrassing effort by them. But at the same time, that's the Chiefs offense. And that's the Chiefs offense minus their left tackle. That's their Chiefs offense minus, at times, their all-pro right guard. I mean, my goodness, that thing is humming right now.
It was cooking, that's for sure. It seemed like every time you looked up at the TV, there's another chunk play breaking in front of you, and they're back in the red zone again. It's interesting. That's kind of the question that arises, and it's going to be what we're probably going to talk about all week long, is how bad are the Raiders? How much can you take away from this? Because you don't want to, overreact too much. But at the end of the day, a point that I brought up on Sports Sunday last night with our friend Jeffrey Parson back in the studio, we had the nostalgia episode yesterday. He's a Raiders guy. And so he made it known. He's like, listen, Chiefs fans, he's like, you might think that you're back, but the Raiders just suck. And I was like, okay, well, let me make the counterpoint here is that we've seen the Chiefs play down to every team in the NFL for the last 2 years. Like, they have this is the biggest blowout that they've had in, I believe, 4 years I looked at, biggest point differential. So it's nice to finally see them take care of business in a game that they should take care of business in.
And the Raiders have a win at New England and a win against Tennessee. I honestly, and this is going to sound, I won't even say that because it is crazy. It's not crazy. You know what? It's not crazy. This is not a crazy thing to say, and I'll tell you why. The Raiders aren't that much worse than the Jaguars. They're not. You don't believe me? You don't believe me in that? Guess what the line is next week at Jags Raiders?
Jags 2.5.
Raiders are favored by 1.5.
That's ridiculous.
So, take that for what you will, but to me, what is the norm? What is not the norm? The Raiders, that was an embarrassing effort 100% from them yesterday. However, it's the Jaguars loss was so bad. That was as bad a loss as I can remember because the Chiefs had to try so hard to lose it. They had to literally do everything wrong. Jags aren't that good. Look at what the Rams did to them yesterday. And so which is it then? Which is closer to the truth? The Jags Chiefs or the Raiders Chiefs? And I think that's what Chiefs fans will be thinking about. I'm going to tell you, and we'll dig into it next. I think the Chiefs are the best team in football. And we've been talking about that for 3 weeks now. Right after the Jags game, they bounce back with a big win. But it's more about we don't have a lot of questions about the organization, about the backbone. Like, we know the Chiefs. We know this team. We know all its key pieces. Its coaching staff hasn't really changed. They've got some new faces on the defense, which is, to me, still the biggest question of the season. They got better on the offensive line. What did we think was going to happen? Right now, they get a full cast of characters, and they're not going to win every game the rest of the season. I don't think they could, but they're the best team in football right now. And that's convince me otherwise.
I think that the questions going into the season that made you think that maybe it wouldn't be is the fact that, they lost a Joe Tooney. They lost some pieces on the defense, and they didn't really they didn't really get better anywhere. That was a point that Brandon Zinner and I brought up a bunch, is the fact of like the Chiefs have just made the decision to just basically say like, yeah, we're just going to run it back. Like, we're going to spend all of our money to retain this team and go back out there. And we're like, I mean, this is a team that just like snuck its way into wins week in and week out and then got blown out in the Super Bowl. And then you say, yeah, I mean, they're good enough. They're good enough to do it, which it's a risk, but it seems like it's going to be right. Like I say that there's
was,
a little,
you know,
bit
that was Tommy's point too. And I didn't agree with it then. I certainly don't now. I'll tell you why, but we'll dig into this. Are they the best team? We'll go deep into the Raiders game. We'll get you all covered, Chiefs fans. And we'll talk about the injuries now that are a little bit concerning. For a variety of reasons. That's all coming on Sports Daily here on this Reaction Monday. It's all Brockton Cleveland. Don't go away.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great supporter of the program. Got some Halloween events coming up in the next few days. A big Halloween spectacular. Just had some pumpkin painting as the golf season winds down, because TJ wants the weather to come and change so quickly. You can still get out there and play 36 holes of golf, though. I'm going to try to get 9 in, TJ, at one point this week. This time of year, it gets harder, man. We're just chasing the kids everywhere. But I'm going to try to get out there for 9 quick holes. We're signed up for the Halloween events. Great family atmosphere. Give Crestview a call. Tell them we sent you. Ask them about all the different kinds of memberships. There are more than just golf memberships, so ask them about them and tell them we sent you here. All right, TJ. Chiefs Raiders. We'll start there, and then we'll get to bigger picture stuff with the Chiefs. 31-0 winners. They hold the Raiders under 100 yards of offense. They pull the starters into the fourth quarter, or it would have been even worse. For your overs, betters, I'll raise my hand. That was annoying. The Raiders' lack of effort was annoying. I cannot believe they were so pathetic offensively, but they were. They are, they're just not playing well right now at all. And the Chiefs dominate them. And that's not the reason I think people are so optimistic about the Chiefs, but you get all the fun things. You get a fake fourth down, angry, you know, conversion by Patrick Mahomes. You get the no-look pass to Rice. You get the great image of Mahomes and Kelce helping a teammate off on each side of a shoulder. Like, it was all there. Like, that was all vintage. Chiefs are having a blast. They're so great. All of it's there. And yeah, look, the Raiders' effort yesterday had something to do with it. But it was, it's been a while since we've seen the Chiefs in that mode. In the, they're not only kicking your tail up and down the field, they're having so much fun doing it mode. Even with all the Super Bowls they've won and everything else, that was as comfortable as we've seen them look in a very long time.
Yeah, that's the thing that I was saying earlier is the fact that, you know, the Chiefs have been the best team in football for years now, and they just don't do this to teams. Like, the last time that there was something comparable to this, it was the Bears game a couple of years ago, and still that was like a 25-point game or something of that nature like that. This just doesn't happen. Like, I think it's happened like one time in Mahomes' career, I think, if I read it right, something like that, that they don't blow teams out like this. It's the first shutout since 2016. And so it's unheard of for the Chiefs to put it all together at one time. I don't want to say that, but just to just keep piling on in all facets of the game. Like, the stats from this game that we'll get into here is from the Raiders side is unheard of in an NFL game, I feel like. 95 total yards. They had the same number of plays as the Chiefs had first downs yesterday. 30 plays, and the Chiefs had 30 first downs. The Chiefs had the ball for 42 minutes of game time, and that wasn't a let's just run the ball and play keep away from them. That was basically, I mean, they had possessions, and they just kept going three and out. Like, it's unreal how bad the Raiders played in that game.
Dominating games like that don't happen. They just don't happen that often in the NFL. Yeah. We saw two of them yesterday. The Rams did it to the Jaguars. The Chiefs did it. The Browns did it to some degree. So, I mean, you see them, but the NFL, right, its reputation is built on covers. And like, oh, man, how did they even get that remotely close into what we saw out of the Broncos and the Bears? 33 fourth quarter points from the Broncos. We'll get into that later. That's unusual. So for me, like, on this, as we're reacting to it, I don't want to overreact to the performance against the Raiders necessarily. It was a great game. The offense looked great. The defense looked great. I want to try to pull out of that what's real and what moves forward with the team. The defense, I keep waiting for them to show a little bit of vulnerability, but the reality is they're playing really well. They give up 17 points to one of the best offenses football in Detroit. They blank the Raiders. You know, they did a pretty good job against Baltimore while Lamar Jackson was in the game. They did a good job against Philadelphia. So it's not like they're playing nothings on offense. Like, they've played some good offenses, and in some cases, great offenses. So I do think the defense is probably, for me, and based on like what I was looking at coming into this season, defense is better than I thought it would be. The offense is now to the point where I thought they'd be. I thought this would be the best offense in football. I genuinely and legitimately do not know how teams are going to stop this offense if they can protect. There's our answer on Sunday. We don't know what's going on with Josh Simmons. Trey Smith was in and out of the game, and Jawan Taylor is nicked up. That is a problem. Now the depth is being tested. We saw a trick play ruined. No, I'm not trying to just like blame Caliendo, but one of your starters is out, a backup has to come in, and they ended up getting the touchdown anyway, so it didn't matter. But at the moment, in a tight game, like, that's a impactful thing that can happen. So we do have to watch that. We have to watch the offensive line now and what it's going to look like for the Chiefs as they get ready to try to get to that bye week, I think, and try to resettle that. Washington's all kinds of banged up. Who knows if Jaden Daniels will play Monday night. So they get, you know, they may get the hook there. And then it's at Buffalo. But other than a few questions now on the offensive line because of injury, I mean, 4-3, like, Chiefs fans couldn't have hoped for more than this with the way things settled out to start the year with Worthy. Mm-hmm. Second, Worthy ran into a brick wall of Travis Kelce, 4-3 with a team that has the best point differential in football. I mean, come on, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get into the big picture stuff more, but one of my favorite stats right now is the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs and the Carolina Panthers have the same record right now at 4-3. So make your conclusions from that of what you will, but it's just funny that
aren't the conclusions this year in the NFL, like, honestly, like, records don't mean a whole lot at this point in 7 weeks in when you're power ranking. If you're legitimately power ranking the NFL and you're talking, like, are you even looking at the records? If you off the top of your head, we're trying to say, all right, let me rank the NFL teams here in who I think are the best teams. Because is it Indianapolis, New England, no, it's not. Like, we got to use our critical thinking skills.
I mean, it's not based on the record, but we're in the point of the season where, I mean, it matters 100%.
Sure,
I think
it matters.
If you're power ranking in a week.
I'm just talking about who's the best team, not who has the best record, who's going to be the one seed. Who's the best team?
I agree, but I think at this point in the season, the fact that the Colts have kept doing what they're doing, like, you wouldn't have said that in week two. Now you're like, damn, like, these guys are good.
They look good. They look good, yeah. And I keep doubting them, and they just keep on doing it. It's, you know, PTSD perhaps with Daniel Jones, and the Chargers have all kinds of injuries. But yeah, the Colts are 6-1. Like, this is the NFL. That's hard to do. Have wins, including in that 6-1. I will caution you. The Dolphins, the Titans, the Raiders, the Cardinals, the very banged up Chargers. They'll play the Titans again. Let's see what happens when they go to Arrowhead. The Chiefs will be favored by 7 points in that game, probably.
It's true. I'll ask you this. Well, we're still talking about this game. This is the first time we've seen all three of the receivers back together. First time Mahomes had all three of them to throw to. They took a picture pregame, all the wide receivers standing in the end zone, kind of recreated the old Legion of Zoom picture that went super viral. Is this the best group that we've seen since then, and where do they stack up after one game if you want to overreact?
I think it's okay to react. I don't think it's an overreaction. If they're all healthy and the line is there, this is a better group than this is the best group Mahomes ever had. Like, the Legion of Zoom was just Tyreek Hill's greatness.
Yeah.
Right. And Kelce, obviously, in his prime. It was prime Kelce, was prime Tyreek Hill. You're talking about Hall of Fame players there. So the difference between that and Rice, Worthy, right? Kelce, this version of him, Hollywood, who is only targeted four times. Like, this collective group is the best that they've had, for sure. They're finding ways to incorporate Breshad Smith. He's almost become a receiver in the group. They have probably 6 to 7 legitimate pass-catching options, and they can run 5 of those guys out there basically on every play. With a good offensive line, it's the best group they've had. And it was that's not a surprise. That was the thought, but going into the season, right? Like, before, you know, we didn't know on Rice. Think back to before we got the Rice suspension news, right? And we were like, well, maybe, you know, maybe who knows what happened. Like, Rice, Worthy, Kelce, Hollywood was going to already be great. Then you say, okay, well, let me also add in Tyquan Thornton, who's a, you know, don't forget, he was a pretty high draft asset that flashed. And now all of a sudden he is a very, very real deep threat. Juju is effective still, believe it or not. And they're finding a way to work in some of the young guys. Like, it's out of control. It's out of control. And what's so crazy about it is it was none of that 3-4 weeks ago. Rice was suspended. Worthy was hurt. You know, the rookies weren't quite there yet. Like, it changes with the health. But if you're asking me if I would go back to, like, the 2020 wide receiver room or we'll call it pass catching room, or this, I'll take this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's just so wild to think about the fact that you brought up that in the preseason, you know, before the suspension news even came down at all, that there really wasn't anything known about what this team was going to be. And it's for the matter that we've never seen all together still. Nobody really understood what it was going to be like, but it was probably going to be pretty good. But I don't think anybody expected the level that the hype around it that it is now. And I think that it was when Worthy went down and then you saw how bad it was without Worthy. And then he came back, and then you saw, like, oh, that's going to make a big difference. And then it's like, well, you see another guy on the way. Like, I think that was the turning point, Ravens game, that everybody was like, this might be something.
Even when Worthy went down, we thought it was going to be bad. But then the offensive line was playing really good, and it wasn't as bad as we feared. Mahomes was still kind of bad. Mahomes was still throwing. Mahomes was still having good games. It was just like this goes back to the point you brought up right before the last break of like, why just run it back if it wasn't good enough last year? And what Tommy and I just had that conversation literally for the entire summer. And my whole point has been, because there was one glaring deficiency on the team, like, that was it, right? So it was running back everything that was good, which was everything else, and trying to solve that one issue. And they did. Now, we'll see about the injuries to the offensive line. But I don't, like, of course, we don't remember all the specifics of too far back. But, like, I can't remember a really good team being so bad in one particular area that it just, bombed everything else that was happening, like the offensive line was last year for the Chiefs as a pass blocking unit. It was so bad.
This just shows you too how bad it was. Like, it's the same team, like, minus a couple pieces, adding back a couple pieces. Like, imagine like DeAndre Hopkins back last year. Obviously, he's an old man now and everything like that. But like, we didn't see anything from him because the offense sucked, because the offensive line was really bad last year. Like, it's crazy the correlation where, like, you could just pull a Chiefs play, put on the film, and it's like, if Mahomes has 4 or 5 seconds in the pocket, like, something good will happen. Like, that's such an upward correlation. Every single time it feels like you've got room to, like, float around in there. Somebody's going to be open, and he's going to make the pass.
And that's what I mean. Like, I can't remember a time where one flaw like that was so – I mean, it happens to – it happened to the Bengals with Burrow. It happened to Ben Roethlisberger in those years. Like, if you can't pass block, you can't pass. And even as great as Mahomes is – and honestly, like, the flaws of it have brought out some other things. It's brought out his confidence to be a runner, I think, from how much he had to run for his life last year. That's become a weapon and everything. And when you package all of that stuff together, him being a threat as a runner, Pacheco and Hunt both healthy. And listen, not everybody's going to stay healthy either, by the way. I mean, they're not right now. They lost two, they're down three offensive linemen, potentially right now, starting offensive linemen. So you still have, it's still the NFL. And it's why it gets so week to week, is because there are so many injuries. And you still have to be able to, you know, battle through those injuries. I can tell you right now, if Simmons and Taylor and Smith were all to be out of that game against the Commanders, all bets are off. Like, who knows what's going to happen at that point? So, like, you can't count on anything in this league, but I think what Chiefs fans can probably count on, and at least what my, you know, eyes are telling me, is that a healthy version of this offense is almost unstoppable. And we don't know how often they're going to get a healthy version of this offense, but everything should be get to the postseason with this offense intact. And let's just continue to watch Steve Spagnuolo work his magic, work in these new pieces, massage guys into larger roles, and see what this defensive line can become, which also had an injury yesterday that we will need to watch for. Norman Lott also left the game. So we got to watch these injuries, but it can turn upside down on you in a week if you're in the NFL, and that happens. But what we saw yesterday, I think, reestablishes what can be if this offense can make it into the postseason in one piece. They are going to be very hard to beat.
Yeah, I agree. I it seems like the recipes in front of us, it's pretty glaringly evident of what they succeed at, and when they don't do well, it's what they, you know, struggle with. I think that the biggest questions that you have is about the defense, but fact of the matter is, as we said, you know, they ran basically everybody back. Like, the biggest pieces that they lost on defense is Justin Reed, which is a hurtful piece, but, you know, he was probably – but in the same breath, I mean, he was probably the fifth best player on the defense. Maybe the
well,
sixth.
He's just he. They had some. They had other options.
Yeah. So
as great as he like, is,
there's just younger guys that are stepping up in roles. And as we've said, I mean, they've played well. Like, I don't think that they're gonna. I don't think it's going to be, speaking of the Legion of Zoom, the defense that we saw back then, when you're going to have to score 40 points to win a game. Like, they no, are going to be – they'll be a top-half defense. They're not going to be the best defense in football.
That's the goal, right? That's the goal. If they can be a top-half defense, I agree. I don't – they're not going to be the best defense, but top-half should be the – that should be the target. I agree with you.
Yeah. So, I agree. I think that it's laid out in front of them. This next 2-week stretch is going to be really interesting. Jaden Daniels, I'm not sure what the status is on that. Speaking of that, our buddy Dylan Domang in the newsroom used to cover LSU, bought a ticket to Monday Night Football to go watch Jaden Daniels.
Mm. It's a hamstring. He'll have to battle through it. They're kind of up against it on their playoff hopes. Young guy, he's already had to miss time this year. Man, that's going to be tough. Hamstrings suck. Hamstrings are really hard to come back from. I want to see him play. I don't want the Chiefs to play Marcus Mariota. I know Chief fans will just want the win, but like, I want to see Jaden Daniels play on Monday Night Football against the Chiefs.
I agree. Make it feel bigger.
Let's go. Let's bring that on. All right, TJ, let's look around the rest of the NFL yesterday. I think for us around here, the most annoying outcome is the Broncos game, where they score 33 fourth quarter points. The Giants kicker misses 2 extra points. Agonizing loss for the Giants. I just like all that momentum they had. I'll be curious to see if they can continue it after a loss like that. But it means Denver goes to 5-2 instead of 4-3. They would have been tied. I still like good for them for the comeback, but man, I don't think they're close to as good as the Chiefs are. But they found a way to win that game. Goodness gracious. That's as crazy a one. I haven't read up on that outcome or anything. Have we ever seen that kind of thing?
That might be the most points ever in a fourth quarter. That's crazy.
Just doesn't even make any sense how that's even possible. But they do it. And so they still lead in the AFC West. You know, we were talking about power ranking right now, the teams in the NFL. Indianapolis has the best point differential, 92 points. And then it's the Chiefs and the AFC at 62. I do think that's a thing to look out for, but I don't think it's everything, because a 31-0 win for the Chiefs throws that number a little bit. Especially when it's against the Raiders. But Detroit's up there. Green Bay is up there. The Rams and Seattle are both up there. We'll see Seattle take on one of the top defenses in football tonight. We'll see if that holds true. But if we're looking at it and trying to decipher, I thought that the 49ers last night, TJ, it's a really impressive win for them. They're missing everybody. Like, they're down so many key players.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. We've talked about it multiple times on the show. It's just, it doesn't matter who they roll out there. They could start Adrian Martinez, and they find ways to win games. And once again, man, I mean, they got Kittle back, but everybody else is still out. They beat a Falcons team that we just saw beat the Bills, and it seemed like they were going to be a pretty legit team in the NFC. It's like, man, 49ers are going to be good. Like, and when they get healthier, they're going to be – and it doesn't really matter who they get on the field. They're going to be a playoff team, it seems like.
And so that, you know, that's a part of the reason, like, record, it matters, obviously, in seeding, but I don't think it matters as much. It's not the only indicator when we're trying to decipher, like, who are the best teams, right? We have to sort through that stuff to go and find it. And eventually those records, like, that stuff will begin to separate. And I think it is to some degree now, 7 weeks in, but like Jacksonville, it's a good example, and I hate piling on them all the time. Jacksonville is not that good, but they were 4-2 going into last week. They're 4-3 with a negative point differential. They shouldn't have beat the Chiefs. That was just an absolutely outrageous outcome. And then you have teams like, let's find an example going the other direction. who, you know, maybe it's Dallas or Carolina fits the bill, I think, of a team that's not actually that good, right? The Rams in Seattle. But what we're seeing as you try, like, now it's starting to separate a little bit. You know, these teams that we think were going to be good are kind of winning some games. Is Cincinnati really as bad as 3-4 the way we saw Flacco play?
That's a very interesting conversation. That's how much you trust Joe Flacco right now with that team.
I mean, you trust him more than Browning, right?
You do. I mean, you still got what, 7 weeks till Burrow gets back?
Yeah, totally. The Bears win again. The Bears are 4-2. Do you trust the Bears? I don't think so. Probably not, right? The Cardinals are 2-5 on a 5-game losing streak with Jacoby Brissett. Their point differential right now, TJ, is 1. Are the Cardinals really as bad as 2-5? No, they're not. So, like, it's not all record, and this conversation steers us back to the Chiefs, who are 4-3. It is totally possible for the best team in football to be 4-3, and I think that's what the Chiefs are. We'll find out, though, with these offensive line injuries, if they can hold through it. And that is, man, I just, you want to talk about, like, all the air out of the balloon, all the air out of the balloon yesterday could come with those offensive linemen. It could, like, that is a problem, because that was the thing that they've solved in the offseason to get to this point. They got healthy on the line. They got better on the line. They got more talented on the line, and they did it despite losing maybe their most talented offensive lineman in Joe Tooney. It was a really nice job. We'll see this week what happens with Josh Simmons. We still have no clue what's happening there. Caliendo is serviceable. We know that. We've known that for a long time. So Trey Smith, you're like, okay, they probably won't be able to run the ball as well. But Caliendo is serviceable there. And then Jawan Taylor, and I'm glad they brought this up on the broadcast yesterday, Romo and Jim Nance. Like, if Jawan Taylor didn't have all the penalties and the mistakes, he grades out pretty well. Like, he does a pretty good job other than those mistake plays. So he's not just, like, easily replaceable. He would be if you had Jalen Moore not having to start at left tackle, right? You could slide him over. You wouldn't worry about it. But right now they don't have that if he were to miss time. You mean down two tackles now?
Yeah, that's the question. It's going to be interesting of how big of a deal it is with those injuries. You know, Trey Smith is obviously the one that I think I might worry about the most. But again, he's a guard and not the tackle. I think tackle is obviously a huge part.
The only thing, because Trey Smith's so good, but we know Caliendo can play meaningful snaps and they can do what they need to do. You're down potentially your two starting tackles. Maybe it's PTSD for me. But all I can think back to is last year and, like, oh no. Like, are you kidding me? We get one week of this, and now we have it. Now we have the same issues we had a year ago.
That would be the most Chiefs thing to happen.
But they're also built now on an offense. I mean, I bet you if we went back and watched plays, I cannot imagine that Mahomes didn't have the ball out of his hand in under, I'm going to make up a number here because I don't chart this kind of stuff, 2 seconds, 80% of the time.
Like, you're saying he had it longer than 2 seconds every time?
No. Like, less? 1-2 throw on his drop back. Like, he never holds the ball anymore unless he takes off and runs. So,
yeah, I don't know. I don't think I agree with that. I think that that's the part that I was bringing up earlier, is the fact that he's got the line now. I think that that's what he thrives on so well, is that he can float around and say, nope, second option, third option.
But he's not. But he's
option.
Not needing. I don't think he's needing to get that
he's
far.
Not needing to. I think that with the weapons that he has, he doesn't need to do that. But I think that he still does it, and I think that that's where they find a bunch of success. Like, I mean, yesterday.
You think
happened,
he did it a lot yesterday?
I don't know if he did it a lot, but every time he did it, there was a ton of, like, I think, like, the 44-yard pickup for Kelsey in that first drive. He floated around for a couple of seconds.
Yeah, that was one.
And then
basically
every chunk play, it feels like, is that's what it comes from.
But their offense this year, and this is where, like, last year they had, you know, the injuries, they couldn't keep the wide receivers, and they had the bad offensive line. This year, They had the offensive line. They didn't have all the wide receivers. Now maybe they have all the wide receivers, but they won't have all the offensive line. I think that they can design it. I think my point is they can still be an effective offense because if all these guys are healthy, because he was able yesterday to get rid of the ball so fast. Like there's not time for a pass rush. Like there's not time for any team to get a pass rush when you can get rid of the ball that quick. And that's the beauty of Rice and Worthy together more than, you know, I know Hollywood Brown is been great and fun and everything. And Thornton's been this deep threat, but it's Rice, Worthy and Kelsey, all three as that quick option that is going to at least help if they are down some offensive linemen. Like Rice is a run after catch guy. They design things up, it seems like, for Worthy more than other players. And Kelsey is still all reliable. It's hard to believe. Did you see, like, how many targets? I don't know if you're looking at a box score right now, so don't cheat.
No.
How many targets do you think Travis Kelsey had yesterday?
Five.
Three. Caught all three. Didn't need him. And that was kind of what we thought, right, at the beginning of the season. Is Kelsey, like, he's going to be in better shape. He's going to be better equipped to be fresh and everything in the postseason because they don't need to throw to him. Now, my thought in the offseason, and I kind of liked Kelsey as like a fantasy player this year, is, man, he's just going to run wide ass open a lot in this offense. And that's like that chunk play yesterday. Because what are you going to do if you're the defense? If that's Rice or Worthy catching that same ball Kelsey caught on the chunk play, they're going to house it. Right. Because they're not 40 years old or that he's not that old, but 36, 37 years old. They'll take that to the house. So the defenses can't let that happen. And eventually, yeah, Kelsey's going to work his way into some really wide open spaces. Shout out to the Dixie Chicks and the just chicks. Like what?
The Chicks. They're not the Dixie Chicks anymore.
They're not the Dixie Chicks anymore.
Come on. Yeah. That changed like 5 years ago.
Oh, well, they haven't been. I love that band, whatever they're called, but they haven't been that relevant in that long anyway. So I guess that doesn't surprise. I think I kind of remember that now. Whatever. Shout out to that song. He's going to do that in this offense if they're all there. Rice, speaking of the targets, Rice had 10 of them. So that answers that question that everybody was asking. How quickly do they get back into him being the target monster? The answer is immediately. Because he commanded the football yesterday. Worthy had four. Now, I will say this, just like I said last week, I think they are protecting Worthy a little bit because of his ankle. And so I don't think it'll be 10 to 4 every week. I think it may be more like 8 to 5 or 6. I think Worthy will be targeted a little bit more, but I think they have the luxury of and they are protecting him from those injuries a little bit right now. Hollywood. You know how many Hollywood four targets? That's probably going to be about right. You know he had the touchdown. I was surprised to see Juju targeted as much as he was, and they took two shots to Thornton, which to me makes sense. I'd be taking about two shots a game to him.
Yeah. So that's the biggest question that I've had. You know, since yesterday. You know, I talked about it last night. I'll ask Josh Briscoe this next hour as well. Is the fact of like. This was the question that everybody was wondering what it was going to look like when Rashee Rice came back. Who is number one? Who is he like by far number one in targets every week though? That's the question. Like, is there going to be weeks where Worthy gets more targets?
He's the most talented guy.
He is, but like, I mean, Xavier Worthy's a number one. He'd be a number one wide receiver.
Worthy is great. Worthy before he like took the Rice role last year, it took him some time. I think Rice is like a top 10 or 15 talent receiver in the NFL.
I agree. I think Worthy's top 20.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. And I love Worthy. I don't think he's the kind of weapon that Rice is. He doesn't have the same size and he's hurt right now. So it's hard to say. They're going to protect him a little bit. But yeah, we can get into that in the next hour. We'll have Josh Briscoe in to continue to discuss. We'll continue to look around the rest of the NFL. Sunflower Showdowns this week as well. It's all coming for you in another hour of Sports Daily. Don't go away. Sports brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Oztoberfest, the deeply copper-colored German-style lager that'll make you click your heels, grab your stein, and follow the copper brick road to the land of Oztoberfest. Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. Welcome back in for another hour of Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland with you, reacting on a Monday to what we saw over the weekend. No K-State or KU, because they are getting ready for the Sunflower Showdown this weekend. We focus heavy on the NFL and all the crazy things that happened yesterday and the Chiefs' dominating performance. We'll have our Chiefs insider, Josh Briscoe, in just a few minutes here in hour number two. Looking forward to that conversation. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here each and every day on the Odyssey family of networks. Glad to be with everybody. 31-0 win on Sunday. If you're just joining us, TJ, Chiefs fans riding pretty high today. Little pep in the step this morning.
A little bit. Chiefs might be back. Take it to the water cooler. Tell all your friends. Tell all the Chiefs haters. Chiefs might be back. I don't know if that's completely true or not. I think that there's arguments to be made, but I think that you and I can both agree that we think that the Chiefs are all the way back and looking like the best team in football once again.
Yeah, they're back. They're back. Now, can they stay there? And they've got some injuries that we've got to sort through. And we'll ask Josh if he's heard anything on those offensive line injuries, most notably. The Chiefs were not able to grasp and take first place in the division because the Broncos had a very improbable comeback win yesterday, 33 points in the fourth. So let's talk about some of the other outcomes there, TJ, real quick. Rams take down the Jaguars in the first game of the day, 35-7. Now, I love the Rams. I love them in the offseason. They're starting to flex. They've had a couple of moments, but that was 35-7 over the Jags with no Puka Nacua. That was 35-7 against the Jags, a team that has basically kind of made London their second home. That was a really impressive performance as well, and I do think that's a team that's good enough to play in a Super Bowl. That's a team that's good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, they seem like they always are, the past couple of years. They showed it last year. They were a pretty legit playoff contender. They beat that Vikings team that was the best team in the NFC, basically. Jags are beat up as we keep dogging on the Jaguars on this show, but I agree. They look great, and they're going to be a team in that NFC. The NFC is just still an interesting who's going to win it. It feels like the AFC, I don't know if the Chiefs are going to win the NFC. They could, but I don't know if they will. I think that the record is all fluctuating and the Colts are beating everybody. I think like everything like that, but the NFC feels like it's anybody's.
It is. I agree. You've got the Niners as contenders, even with the injuries. How about the Packers? The Cardinals have Jacoby Brissett. Say what you will, on the difference between Kyler Murray and Jacoby Brissett. Brissett continues to look good. But it does feel like the Packers have been playing with their food a little bit. They get the win yesterday. They're 4-1-1. That tie against the Cowboys. Maybe it's just me. It does feel like they're constantly not reaching their potential. But they get another win. They're a team that, they have a really good defense, I think. But they get there. The Patriots just keep on winning. That was another big-time win for them, not just to win. Max is asking, what about my Patriots? What about the Patriots? They're 5-2. Listen, Max, you got your good young quarterback. You got your coach. You got all the pieces. They're probably going to reach that 8-win total, which I did not think they would, so I'll take that L. But they look pretty good. The Eagles. How about the Eagles win over the Vikings? That's one, I think, of interest to everybody. And I'll tell you what stunned me about that one is that the Eagles did it behind 326 yards from Jalen Hurts, a guy that has not thrown the ball particularly well this year. There were two big chunk plays in that. I get it. But even if you took those two big chunk plays out, it was still, for him, a pretty good passing performance. They still can't run the ball, but they now, if they can throw the ball, nobody had been throwing on the Vikings, and they did it. So I thought that was a really important win for them.
Man, what's going on with JJ McCarthy? Have you been following? Yesterday, Adam Schefter came out and said something about it was originally reported that it was going to be a 6-week injury. So this is still just going to be that, a 6-week injury. And everybody's like, Adam Schefter, you said it was going to be a 2-4 week injury. So what is going on with his ankle? It might be the worst ankle injury in the history of football.
That's high ankle sprain. I mean, they're always annoying. They're not easy injuries. What was weird about it is none of us really could isolate when it happened, right? But they're not. Look, they're not.
No, no, no. I'm not insinuating that.
Making
I'm just saying
excuses
the fact
to get Carson Wentz out there.
No, I think that there, it's insinuating. I don't think I'm insinuating that. I'm saying the fact of like it's just weird that for 3 weeks straight now it's been like, okay, he's off the IR. It's time to bring him back. It's like, nope, not yet. Like, not this week either. When's it going to happen? I don't know. I'm excited to see it happen again because we have a conversation every stinking week about redrafting that class. And I want to see how he stacks up
as we see Bo Nix's comeback last night. Like, I want to see where he is in this class because, man, if we go, what is it, 6 for 6? Like, that's going to be crazy. And now I want it so badly to be the case. The Browns destroy the Dolphins. Who is your vote for the worst team in football right now?
It might be the Dolphins. They're in hell.
I don't know. The Jets are pulling the plug. They're going to Tyrod Taylor, it sounds like.
Justin Fields.
I'm stunned that the Jets have been this bad. I didn't think they'd be very good, but I didn't think they'd be this bad. That may be a one and done for Aaron Glenn, which is crazy.
He was awesome. He was so good.
I know. He might be right back in Detroit next year. But the Dolphins just, they're not competitive, really. That was a bad matchup for Miami. The Browns, who are this great defensive team, and they are developing an identity to be able to run the ball. Quinshon Judkins he was averaging a little over 3 yards a carry yesterday. But the Browns are the kind of team that if you let them play the way that they want to play the game, they're a little bit dangerous because they can play such a good defense. And that's a bad matchup for Miami. Like, what's Miami going to do? If Miami can't come out and score, like, they're in big trouble in a game like that.
How much longer is McDaniel's leash?
I don't know Ross's history on with mid-season firings or anything like that. I mean, he won't make it through the season.
Have you seen the Chiefs discourse about the situation saying that we are a half season away from Matt Nagy getting hired to be a head coach somewhere and the Chiefs getting Mike McDaniel as the greatest offensive coordinator of all time?
What about Mike McCarthy as an offensive coordinator who's sitting around? That's a lot of cheeseburgers. It's a lot of cheeseburgers needed. McCarthy's not going to the Chiefs, no. Andy Reid would be okay without any help. I think it's interesting. I did see the funniest meme on the coach. There was one, I don't remember if I sent you this one. It was a shot of McDaniel and Glenn and like their capri pants. And at the time it was like the capri pants are 1-8 this year as NFL head coaches. It's just like, yes, this is awesome. It was good.
I feel like I could rock this. Could you rock a pair of capri pants?
No, I don't know. My wife got me not like
your wife got you capris.
Not quite that dramatic on the style that we're referencing, where it's like the sweatpants with the very elastic bottom that are pulled up and like the saggy crotch. You know, not with the.
You're talking like parachute pants.
I'm talking like the Bieber look. Like it's incorporated. Look up that meme. Like there's saggy cry. Like I don't think I can pull those off. I mean, sometimes my workout pants like right up my leg, and I guess before I pull it down, I wore my baseball pants high. So maybe. I mean, it's the same concept there. No different, I suppose, than wearing high pants in baseball. Were you a high pants guy or were you a janitor pants guy?
I'd go back and forth. I was the tweeners. I liked the elastic around my ankles. I didn't like it hanging down past my cleats. I liked a little bit of sock showing, but I'd hike them up every now and then. I'd get some high sock Sundays going.
'90s, the Maddox pants. Yeah. Okay. 100%. I definitely was. I was up above calf.
I cannot imagine the Jacob Albrock swag on a baseball field of what you were wearing out there.
So swaggy. So sweaty.
Were you? What else you got? Were you taping wrists? Did you have a sleeve on?
No.
Evo Shield.
No.
Did you have the face guard for the helmet?
We didn't. That
were you just a or were you just a lunch pail guy? Show up, no batting gloves.
Show up, work hard. I did not have batting gloves. Did
you didn't have batting gloves?
I think I was a one batting glove. I don't remember on batting gloves. I don't remember on batting gloves. Maybe I did for sliding as much as anything, because nothing's worse than when you come up with the, you know, with the jacked up hands from a slide. But yeah, no, I was high pants guy, but not high workout pants. No, I don't rock the capris when I'm, you know, at the gym three times a year.
Any listeners out there wearing capris, call in.
They're all, no judgment here. I wear a Hawaiian shirt way more than I should. I don't, it was a funny meme because the two coaches that had been there had a lot. Josh Briscoe, we'll see if he wears three pants when we return.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And we welcome you back in right now as we are joined by our Chiefs insider, Joshua Briscoe, of the Chiefs Radio Network. You can follow along his coverage, of course, on the Chiefs Radio Network, pregame and postgame host. You can follow him on X at JB Briscoe, only weird games on the KC Sports Network, all kinds of different places. How's that coffee tasting? This
pretty
morning.
Good, pretty delicious. It tastes like a shutout blend, which I wasn't expecting to have this morning, but it's a very pleasant surprise. I'm delighted. I got to do a noon game. I was home by like a reasonable time in the afternoon, so I'm bright eyed, bushy tailed, and the Chiefs appear to in fact be back. We've known that a little bit now, but felt really good to see that yesterday.
Let's not start with the positive, which is where I wanted to start. But if they are back, and we agree, I think they're the best team in football. We do have a big asterisk on the side now because Trey Smith was in and out of the game. Juwan Taylor got nicked up. We still don't know about Josh Simmons. The reason they're back is because the offensive line has finally allowed them to be back, and now we have some questions about what's going on there.
No, that's very fair, and obviously another good day for Jalen Moore. I think it seems like Juwan Taylor's is going to be no big deal. That was seemed more precautionary. And then after the game, Andy Reid didn't mention Trey Smith's back injury in his like first round of updates. He mentioned Omar Norman Lott, and that sounds concerning, and maybe we'll get some answers on that today. But the Trey Smith thing, I do think, is at least a blip on the radar. Obviously, we don't know what's going on with Josh Simmons. So you're right. It's a good call to make of like, well, the offensive line has been doing its job and keeping Mahomes comfortable. I think there is enough depth in that offensive line, kind of like there is in the wide receiver room, where you can survive a game or two of having some patchwork stuff. Mike Caliendo and Wanya Morris are very capable backups, but you want to be able to rely on your starters again shortly, obviously.
Josh, let's not gloss over this here. I think that it's a backwards graph of the amount of noon games that Chiefs fans want and the amount of noon games that the Chiefs fans get. So we don't get very many of these, but they're awesome when we have them. Talking about the game yesterday, the biggest question that I think we're going to talk about all week and all the national shows will probably talk about all week is did the Chiefs look that good or do the Raiders just stink that bad?
And it's funny because, I mean, we've done this a few times now. It feels like every good Chiefs performance so far this year has had some sort of asterisk to it of like, well, you know, the Ravens defense is really banged up and the offense got banged up. Okay, fine. Well, then, you know, hey, they look good, but the Lions defense has all these injuries. And that's just going to be the way things go from now on. Like, the Commanders team they'll play a week from today is nowhere near perfect. The entire league has so many of those asterisks. Nobody has a clean sheet. Only the Jets are perfect in their own way. And I think perfect is probably a very, very kind word. They are perfectly imperfect as a franchise. Meaning that there's such chaos in the league right now. The Chiefs are never going to get a perfect opponent. If they get back to the Super Bowl and they, you know, meet some juggernaut there again like they did last year, maybe some of these flaws will pop up. But right now, I have to let go of some of the, like, adjusting for opponent thing because Rashee Rice wasn't out there against the Chargers or the Eagles. So I can't judge how they would look against those teams.
And it's fine. I think sometimes when we're trying to stack this up, because once the playoff starts, we don't really do this. We do it in week 8, right? Well, they're not, you know, they're record. No, like, who's the best team? Like, who, like, just what do we think who the best team is? And I would, like, I'm not picking anybody over the Chiefs right now, especially not if their defense, and I know the Raiders, that was a joke yesterday. Yeah. I'm going to stop at some point just wondering when the defense is going to not look as good as they have the last 2 or 3 weeks. Maybe that's them. Maybe that's their true colors.
And that's the other side of the coin where, again, like, I think especially Baltimore, people get revisionist, but Lamar Jackson was out there basically as long as Patrick Mahomes was out there yesterday, but obviously Mahomes left by choice. I think that you're obviously right about like the playoff thing where once you get to the games when it's just survive in advance, we kind of stop doing that. And I understand having a little bit of a desire to, like we were just talking about, to adjust for opponent, because you are trying to diagnose who's the best team and who has the real strengths and what are the weaknesses that these teams are going to have to cover up for and all of that. I mean, that's just how NFL conversation goes throughout the regular season. I also think if you look at what the Chiefs have done against teams like this Raiders squad we just saw over the last couple of years, you are typically getting some close, nail-biting games that are frustrating, and you go, man, you had this limping Raiders team come in here, and you only beat them by 3 points, or 7 points, or 10 points with a field goal at the end. We so rarely, and we've seen it a few times, and we've seen the Chiefs do it a couple times this year, but you so rarely just see a thumping, even whenever it is a obvious a canyon between where the two teams are at skill wise and coaching wise, the roster altogether. It was varsity JV stuff yesterday, but in a league that has as much parity and that does keep everybody as tight as the NFL, there is no JV team. It's just a Raiders team that has not yet found its way, but has won 2 football games this year. Now, obviously, again, no Brock Bowers, no Jacoby Myers, a half of Max Crosby. Yes, they are banged up and beaten, but I didn't hear a whole lot of that olive branch being extended to a Chiefs team without Rashee Rice, and for a while without Xavier Worthy, and now without Josh Simmons, which Jalen Moore has just replaced well enough at this point that we don't have to put the asterisk on there because the O-line has held together. So that's always going to be a little bit of a moving target. I understand how it happens, but I think today you be impressed with the thumping and you keep it moving.
Yeah, Josh, that was a point that I brought up earlier in the show, is the fact of, like, say what you will about the Raiders stinking, but for the last 2 years, the Chiefs don't do this. They play down to every team in the National Football League. To see them finally do this against an inferior team is like a breath of fresh air to watch a game and not have anything to really complain about whenever it's over. One of the things that we talked about all last week, for the last 6 weeks basically leading up to Sunday, is how the share the workload would share within the wide receiver room. We saw a lot of Rashee Rice. You know, there was a report that came out that they wanted to do that by design. Is that going to be an every week thing? How much are they going to share the sugar?
I have seen this phrase going around a couple of times. So you've got the return of Rashee Rice coming with everybody's got to eat, kind of referential to him giving out the food and all of that. That one video. The spin on that I enjoy is everybody's got to eat, but somebody's got to sit at the head of the table. And Rashee Rice is going to sit at the head of the table the rest of the way. I apologize for not knowing who came up with that twist on EGE so early on in the process, but I really think it's fitting. Where you are going to have Xavier Worthy games where he's just like, oh, okay, he only caught two or three passes and maybe had a run play to try to pull the eyes of a defense. Okay, well, it's kind of a quiet Worthy day, or a quiet Travis Kelce day. I think if you see something resembling, in air quotes here, quiet Rashee Rice day, I think I think the investment the Chiefs have made is that if you are preventing a Rashee Rice day, you are going to have to deal with a Hollywood Brown day and a Juju Smith-Schuster day, maybe a Noah Gray day. Like, who is it going to be that steps up when your attention goes elsewhere? So I really do think that Rashee Rice is the top of the food chain in terms of the Chiefs pass catchers. I think that's how they designed it to be these last 2 years. We just didn't get to see it very much last year either. I think Rashee Rice is absolutely the top dog. I think he will have the most targets and the most yards as a receiver in this offense from this point forward. I don't think he'll be the leading receiver every single week, because there are going to be... Tyquan Thornton will probably lead this team in receiving at some point this year again, because he'll have 2 for 90 or something and go, wow, what an amazing day from the speedster. So I think it is a both, like, literally and metaphorically a very healthy wide receiving room, but I think Rashee Rice is the star of it.
And just if you go back through his game logs too, like, he doesn't really ever have games. Once he got into his rookie year, fewer than like 6 targets. Like,
yeah,
he Mahomes and he connect, and he's good after the catch and all those things. On that, Worthy yesterday, like, I do think they're protecting him a little bit. Mm-hmm. That he is a little less involved probably than I would have anticipated, but he's got a bum ankle and a shoulder injury. I think they can afford to protect him, but I think they are.
I haven't seen what his snap counts were yesterday. I know they were minimal, because I know everybody's were minimal, because they played like it was like a third preseason game snap count sheet. Not for the defense. For the defense, it was like a first half preseason snap sheet. Unbelievable. So with that in mind, yeah, I think that's understandable. And again, at this point, I think the shoulder we like acknowledge, but doesn't appear to be really limiting him. The ankle is when you're talking about a speedster who's just like an angle cut machine that you'd say, well, you just got to put a lot of torque into what you're doing in your lower body there. I think a pretty light work day for Xavier Worthy, all things considered. One extra day to prepare for this week's game, or just another day to rest. And the bye week's not too far out, so I do think it makes sense. Just the Chiefs do this all the time, where you want to make sure you're hitting your stride going into the playoffs. And a lot of times, even thinking back to Rice and Worthy's rookie campaigns, like, the back half of that season was that when they really got comfortable in the offense and then really got involved. I think if you can use Xavier Worthy as your number 2.5 kind of weapon while he figures out what's going on with his body, if you want to limit him in practice and make sure he's healthy, anything to try to get him back to health. It's very, very hard to play your way to health in the NFL, but everybody's hurt at this point, except for Rashee Rice, obviously, who just got back. But yeah, no, I think that's a good thing to keep an eye on. He's really important to what this offense wants to keep doing. But also, if he this isn't really how it works, so I guess I'm kind of just wishing upon a star here. But if you said, oh, well, Worthy can sit one game and then his ankle won't be a problem the rest of the year, I would be comfortable with that happening pretty soon because you have receivers around him, and specifically Tyquan Thornton, who stepped up in his role in a pretty big way to start the season.
Yeah, Josh, looking around the rest of the NFL, a joke that I made is the fact that, man, the Chiefs are 4-3. They're officially as good as the Carolina Panthers. Same record as them. Looking at the AFC race, you know, what's a realistic expectation at this point? Are the Colts good? They seem to be good. Where can we see the Chiefs aiming for with this trajectory they're on?
They're aiming for the one seed again, honestly. I don't think they should necessarily be favored for that right now, probably. I think they should be favored in the AFC West. This is not a team you asked me about. I've never been less convinced by two wins in back-to-back weeks than what I've watched from the Denver freaking Broncos. I've been an unofficial New York football fan for the last 2 weeks, and I hate it. I understand why Jets and Giants fans are the way they are now, because I rooted for the Jets last week against the Broncos and was disappointed. I rooted for the Giants against the Broncos yesterday, was disappointed again. So I think the Chargers are injured, and obviously they're deep in their own struggles. I just don't believe in the Broncos. The Broncos could win the division, and I'll pick against them in the first round of the playoffs. I'll take every opportunity I can to bet against that team at this point, I think. It seems like smoke and mirrors to me. And then actually at the top of the conference, like you mentioned, the Colts. The Colts are definitely good, and I have been more surprised by nothing in maybe the last 5 years of the NFL. Like, oh no, Daniel Jones was the stabilizing factor they needed, and now the Colts are the best team in the AFC. A mind-bending, apparently, fact that we're living through right now. But no, the Chiefs should be thinking about, obviously, winning the AFC West and then getting back into the one-seed conversation because the margins are so tight, the records are close enough. You don't have a 7 or 8 win undefeated Bills team or the Bengals with Burrow or healthy, whatever you were afraid of at the beginning of the season. There is just not a team so clearly in the driver's seat that you can count anything out. I do think the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC and I guess the best team in football. There aren't a lot of great counter-arguments. The best counter-argument a couple weeks ago was the Detroit Lions, and then the Chiefs handled them without Rashee Rice. So I think the Chiefs absolutely are considering themselves in that very tippy top of the league. They've got to prove it every week, but everybody does. That's just what the league looks like right now.
I know this was a sneaky stat yesterday, Josh. Last one for me, at JB Briscoe, our Chiefs insider, Joshua Briscoe. Breshard Smith and got a little work in mop up there, 14 mm-hmm. carries, and Kareem Hunt was a little nicked up. We've seen Smith come on in the past game. I mean, they targeted him 5 times in that game. Like, they're designing things for him. I wonder if he is going to become something more in the run game.
I think he will. I looking at the box score post game, like live on air yesterday, I had to go through the mental notes of like, well, okay. So he got all those carries in the fourth quarter, and it was just, hey, just, we're feeding the rookie. He obviously, Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt don't need fourth quarter preseason snaps, and Breshard Smith very much does. So feed him there. But then I was going back and I was looking at just scanning the box score in the receiving game and thinking, oh, okay, that was more targets than I remember Breshard Smith getting. I remember him, you know, with Mahomes a few times. Well, how many of these targets came from Gardner Minshew? And then I realized the answer was zero because Gardner Minshew wasn't allowed to target anybody. Gardner Minshew didn't throw the ball. The Chiefs didn't throw a pass in the fourth quarter of that game. So all of that to say, I think it's both intentional and convenient to have Smith out there in mop-up duty, but I think that the path for him is evident, and I'm going to stay like buying relatively low and just kind of redoubling my investment in Breshard Smith until the 2/3 mark of the season or so. Again, kind of thinking back to Rice and Worthy in their rookie seasons. Now, like Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Isaiah Pacheco ended up as running backs being very, very involved as rookies. It's different than being a wide receiver. But Breshard Smith is doing all of this pass-catching stuff. He's played more receiver than running back in college. And so I do think that having him on one of those kind of slow ramp-up programs makes a lot of sense. I think his program's probably been sped up a little bit because, ironically, the Chiefs' backfield doesn't have speed amongst the things that it does have. Just raw quickness and burst and explosion is not something that Pacheco and Hunt have at this point in their careers like they used to. So I do think there's a path for Breshard Smith to do more. I think really, I don't think you're ever going to feel good asking for the 10-carry Breshad Smith game this week or this week or this week. But I think if you do say, hey, in 6 weeks from now, I'd like to see Breshad Smith have 24 carries under his belt, or at least another 24 touches of him getting into the mix, and then by the playoff push, maybe his role evolves in another time.
Yeah, I like it. I like seeing him get involved. Well, we intentionally didn't need to preview the Commanders, A, because we don't know who their quarterback is going to be yet, and B, because they play Monday night. So the next time we talk to you, Joshua, it'll be all about the Commanders, and we'll get everybody ready for Monday Night Football. Great work as always on the network. We appreciate it. And enjoy the extra pep in the step today.
Hey, thank you very much. I hope you guys got some extra sleep. I get to enjoy a Red Zone Sunday next week. And like you said, by the time I talk to you next Monday morning, we'll find out if this is an eligible real win for the Chiefs or not, or if it's Marcus Mariota. Is that one just also not going to count in the standings? It's a wonderful game we play when the goalposts can move so easily.
Yes, they can. All right, Joshua, we appreciate it. Follow him at JB Briscoe, and we'll talk again next week. Oh, man, TJ, what a... Can you imagine, like, it's going to feel so cheap. Like, if Mariota doesn't play next week, and then it was the Raiders, and then, I mean, if Daniels doesn't play next week, and then it was the Raiders, then Mariota, it's like, well, yeah, they won 100-0, but
it's the 2025 argument of last season where they're going to go 16-1, and everybody's going to say, well, there wasn't a real 16-1. They barely won those games.
And it wasn't. It kind of wasn't. And I don't hate the argument. I don't. I think who you play in this league is really, really important. And yesterday, the Raiders just didn't show up. I mean, I like, what an embarrassing effort by them. Not even like the bet, because I know the bettors are frustrated today, but like the overs bettors, or if you were putting stuff together, like that is like you get into a game, you're looking at it and you're trying to do all that, and then you just get an absolute nothing burger. That was as bad a performance from a team as I can remember any team having all season long. Like, they didn't show up. And we'll get into college football throughout the week here, but it was an interesting weekend in the Big 12. And I think if we just focus in there, we realize that as crazy as it sounds, as much as it might want to make people lose their minds, boy, Kansas and Kansas State, we saw Tech go down this weekend. They still don't have their quarterback back, and they couldn't find enough to beat Arizona State. That was a team you worried about maybe not having a loss that you can't take care of business on. Well, they lost. BYU survived, but the tiebreaker situation for all of this is absolutely crazy, right? And who you play and all these things. But if you're Kansas State, you can kind of control it now against Texas Tech. A lot of these teams, Utah, you'd control it against. Kansas, you would control it against. Like this jumbling of teams that we have, it does a little bit, you know, creep the door open if you're K-State, if you're a KU fan, to the outside hope that maybe you could still do something special. The problem is nobody plays Kansas or Kansas State. Neither of them will get to play BYU. Cincinnati is still there and has the win over Kansas, but K-State doesn't get to play BYU or Cincinnati. So it's not totally in their control, but do we really think Cincinnati's running the table here? Do BYU and Cincinnati play each other? Let me just check that real quick. They do not. So that's a little bit of a problem still, but man, the door has cracked open just a little bit for KU and K-State.
It has. I picked the Texas Tech loss, by the way, if you remember back on Friday during the pick.
Well, yeah, we didn't know if they'd have their quarterback, and they didn't. So
yeah, true. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And as you said, you know, it begins with the Sunflower Showdown this week. It does feel like both of these teams are just in limbo a little bit, and for different reasons. You know, obviously K-State started terrible, you know, rock bottom for a lot of fans. Didn't think it could get worse than what it was. And they've crept out of it, and now they're in limbo about, like, I mean, is this a successful season? Are we going to, like, go back to the old way? Like, it's not as successful in terms of expectations of what they had, but, you know, it won't be the worst season that they've seen. Like, it could be a bowl game. It could be a decent bowl game, get a bowl win, and you won't, you know, want to puke when you look at this season. For KU, you know, they started off pretty hot, and it feels like they've lost two of their last three. They lose this one, that'd be three of their last four. They'd lose the streak again as a favored opponent, as a favored team in this one. And it feels like it would just kind of start being like a like trending downward if you lose this game. If KU wins this game, it's going to still be an awesome season for them. If K-State loses this game, it's going to feel like it's a bad season. So I think this is like the perfect spot for this game to be and the perfect indication of where the fan bases are, because whoever wins and whoever loses is going to have completely different viewpoints, not only on like that game, but I think of the entire season, honestly.
Let's be real to expectations. Kansas makes a bowl game. Yeah, beats Kansas State, it's a good year. Fans are going to be thrilled with it. K-State beats Kansas and makes a bowl game, but only has six or seven wins. It's not going to be what fans signed up for, right? Like, I think you have to put some of that in there. And you know, for Kansas, they're not favored against K-State. They are favored. So they're favored by 2.5 against K-State. And then they'll be favored against Oklahoma State. At Arizona, at Iowa State. I'll be real curious at home against Utah, maybe. Like, it's hard. We're trying to just, like, set expectations for all this stuff. The chances of either of them winning all the rest of their games are very low. But it's on the table, right? It you know, if you're the players, it's on the table. If I told you, like, what if – and I don't know what Dylan Edwards' status is. We'll ask Wyatt Thompson in the morning when he joins us. But if Dylan Edwards played at the beginning of the year and we knew the rosters and we knew everything else and we knew Avery Johnson was actually playing pretty well, as he has a lot of the year now, especially now that he's running a little bit, that they closed the season on the road against Kansas, Oklahoma State, and Utah and hosting Tech in Colorado, would it have seemed that crazy to think K-State would go 5-0 in those games?
Nope. K-State should have. I mean, if K-State was the expectation of what K-State was going to be, they'd be favored in every single game that they played.
Right.
Maybe except Texas Tech, but it's a home game, so they probably would have been.
It's a home game, and they don't have their quarterback. So who knows if they will. I don't know what the status is of Baron Morton. But, like, that's what I mean. Like, if you're the players and you're the coaches, you just really can, like, wash all that other stuff away. And I thought what was interesting about the weekend and Tech losing – Tech, to me, in the league, healthy, obviously, with their starting quarterback, which they don't have right now. Tech is the team, as you looked up and down the standings and you're a KU or a K-State fan, where, like, well, they're not going to lose two games, right? Like, they're not losing two games, so the tiebreaker is going to be out and all those things. Well, now, guess what? If you're K-State, you still get to play Tech. You can run Tech down. So the hardest team to catch, basically, you control your destiny with Tech. That's a huge development for K-State over the weekend. Now,
by the
they
way,
don't they
BYU,
don't
BYU and Cincinnati
the others? What's that?
BYU and Cincinnati do play each other, by the way.
Oh, they do play each other. Well, that's good news.
Second to last week.
Okay, but you still need one of them to lose twice now.
Yes, correct.
So BYU closes with. They close at Iowa State, at Texas Tech. See, this is the good news. Tech gets their quarterback back. I'm all over Tech in that game. And Lubbock against BYU? Yes.
True.
But you need them to lose twice, right? You need them to lose twice, but they play Cincinnati. So there's one of them is going to lose that. So that's two losses. Then you get into all the crazy, crazy tiebreaker things. Of course, that doesn't apply for Kansas because Cincinnati beat Kansas. But Cincinnati closes. It's Baylor at Utah, Arizona, and BYU at home, and at TCU. If Cincinnati runs that gauntlet, good for them. I don't think they're going to, but that'd be awesome for them if they did. So there is a pretty good likelihood that if Kansas State were to win the rest of their games, they're going to be in a tiebreaker situation, and that would mean they beat Tech. So that's one of them down. That's what's crazy, and that's what's crazy about Texas Tech losing that game if you're a K-State fan. As you control your destiny now against the best, what I think is the best team in the league when they're healthy. Here we go. Like, all bets are off. Now go win them all, K-State. Like, at K-State, I don't think Kansas is quite as lucky because they already played Cincinnati and Texas Tech. But if you're Kansas State, like, you're kind of getting lucky here now. You can
by
see
the way,
it's there.
Yeah, by the way, we haven't talked about this. We've been giving KU a lot of flack for their losses that they've had this year. They have three losses on the year to number 21 in the country, number 15 in the country, and number 14 in the country, which at the time was not in those spots, except Texas Tech, obviously. But, you know, an unranked Mizzou and an unranked Cincinnati, when nobody had any expectations about them, they're all of a sudden really, really good. So say what you will, you know, that could change your outlook on what KU's done this year, that they've only struggled against top 20 teams.
KU's favored this weekend for a reason.
The
conversation, the only reason K-State gets brought up is because they have a little bit more control of their final destination in the Big 12. But KU's favored this weekend at home, right?
I agree. I'm just saying. I think I'm just saying in effect of, you know, looking at the outlook of the KU season, you know, it's been and I'm guilty of it too. You know, I haven't even thought about that until now. You know, it's been kind of doom and gloom the last 3 weeks about, like, they've lost two of their last three. They've lost two of their last three to two top 20 teams in the country. So if you would have known that that's what you were going into, if you would have known in that Cincinnati game, it's like, hey, number 20 team in the country is coming into our play. It's going to be a tough one. And then you said Jalen Daniels threw for 500 yards and they lost in the last second game. It's like, well, you know, that sucks, but it's a good team.
Oh, they shouldn't have lost that game. That's the version of Chiefs Jaguars. That's the version of Chiefs Jaguars. That's the version of K-State Baylor. Like, it's just like, there's no way. There's no way. I think Kansas is going to beat one of Arizona and Iowa State on the road. I honestly have no idea what to do with this weekend's Sunflower Showdown. I'm having a hard time with it, but I think Kansas will get one of those road wins. I think Kansas is going to be okay for a bowl game. And I think that will have made a successful season, considering they flipped everybody except for Jalen Daniels. Like, he's kind of it. He's kind of it, right? And I think they're going to be, like, any way to a bowl game, and I think fans are going to feel pretty good about it. It'd certainly be icing on the cake if they can beat K-State. K-State gets to a bowl game, boy, that is not going to be enough, and people will be wildly disappointed.
But at this point, I feel like people have kind of swallowed that pill for K-State. You know, they're licking their wounds at this point. I feel like anything is gravy at this point for K-State. I think they mailed it in after Arizona.
Maybe, but now all of a sudden we're dangling this carrot out there again.
I know.
Of like, you know what would happen if you just won the rest of your games? And obviously it
happens every freaking year. It happens every year for K-State. I remember a couple of years ago after they lost to Texas and the world got lit on fire. And then it's like, wait. They might control their own destiny still.
Like,
and then they lose to Cincinnati. Potential
outcomes that could have helped K-State, Tech losing one when you still get to play them. And I'm telling you, because I've told you, I have a lot of family in school down there. My niece, like, K-State's the one they've got circled as, like, uh-oh. Like, that's the one they don't want to play. Like, that's the one they've been the most worried about. And obviously this weekend got on them because, again, injuries are a part of this too, right? You got to be healthy. And it's a part of it for K-State. They haven't had their best player or their second best player really all season long. Yep. I hope Dylan Edwards can play.
It is not like if everybody's healthy going into these final five, I mean, they could literally beat everybody, which is so nuts.
And they haven't played well enough to do that. And I get it, to Rick's point, like, they're not playing well enough. Rick chimes in and said they're proving that they're not good enough to win them all. And I think that's fair. Very fair. They're a 3-4 team right now. Like, they haven't even won half of what they've played.
I agree. So I think the biggest takeaway you can make, because the Baylor game is just going to skew all these stats, basically. They've scored 34 points, 34 points, and 41 points the last 3 weeks. I don't give a damn about what their defense does. If they can do that every single week, that's enough. Like, you could, it wasn't against Baylor.
I care. It's enough. They're gonna have to be better defensively if they're gonna beat Texas Tech, for instance. But, like, Maybe they get Tech with a quarterback injury. Maybe they, you know, like, I'm an optimist. I just want people to stay engaged in the college football season for as long as they can. All I'm saying is it was a good weekend for K-State fans on the mic. That's it. That's all I'm saying. All right, that's it. Thanks to Joshua Briscoe for stopping by. If you missed anything with that conversation on the Chiefs or anything today, you can go back and listen for free on the Odyssey app. Don't forget tonight, you've got a doubleheader in the NFL. You better be ready to stay up late, TJ. I don't think I'm planning on it, but man,
are you going to try?
Away sometimes. That's
I might
9
try.
O'clock start. Oh,
that's a midnight.
I might get it started. I'm not, which is a bummer because I hate missing NFL games, but that's going to be tough. We'll see. You can listen to it tonight. 9 o'clock, the second game starts. We actually get the pregame coverage on the first one, Tampa and Detroit. That comes at 5 o'clock your way. Regular programming today. Glad to be with you, everybody. Tomorrow we'll have Wyatt Thompson. We'll begin on the K-State side of the Sunflower Showdown. It should be enjoyable. TJ, enjoy the day off.
I will.
Good luck, everybody, with the work week. We'll be back here tomorrow for Max with TJ and Jacob. See you then.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.